The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to November 2008.
University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush. To my right from the Department of History, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy. It's good to be back.
And we're glad to have you back. And across the table from Roy, from the College of Engineering and Science and the director of our pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the DabSet man, Meggio.
Thanks, Kathy.
And we're glad to have you with us. Well, we're going to start off with a set of questions that this is somebody who sent us questions before. This is Michelle Harris of Detroit, Michigan. I don't know if you remember Michelle. She's a former student.
Oh, I don't remember
you
her.
Might.
I remember the name.
Yeah, okay.
I may. The name sounds vaguely familiar. What major?
Actually, she came out of our college. She ended up majoring in psychology.
Okay.
And now she's doing second degree nursing.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Okay. She said, you can grade these any way you want. They are questions that are fun history trivia questions.
Well,
so fine.
Pressure's on.
Okay. Who inspired communism with the line, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs?
Marx.
Of course.
Karl not Groucho?
Yeah.
This submachine gun was invented by Mikhail Kalashnikov in 1947. What is it better known as?
Uzi?
No, that would be a really good response, though. But
I don't know guns, so please.
Well, that's okay. We're not expecting people to know.
AK-47?
It's the AK-47, absolutely. I guess the 47 came from the year it was invented. And I'm not sure where the A comes from.
Did it give the first name of the?
Mikhail.
Okay.
So that's why I thought maybe if it was Alexander, I could understand it. What former Secretary of State noted, the illegal we do immediately, the unconstitutional takes longer?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
The illegal we do immediately, the unconstitutional takes longer. That's really scary.
Henry Kissinger?
It is, yes. What was your first clue, Roy? What Soviet leader's second wife was also his daughter, according to the book Kremlin Wives? I know, but...
It's got to be older.
Well, yeah.
Stalin?
It is Stalin, Joseph Stalin. Now, I'm wondering how much validity there is to that claim.
I believe that more if it were the English.
Okay, there we go.
He went to the Jerry Lee Lewis School of Family Relations.
I was going
to
say that is,
sorry
wow.
if there's, sorry for offending any English.
Brits. Any Brits out there? Okay, this state has hosted more nuclear tests than any other in the U.S. Which state
Nevada.
Might that be?
Yeah.
Is that just because of your many trips to Las Vegas, Dan?
I've never been to Las Vegas, and I don't want to go.
Really?
No, it doesn't hold any interest, really, for me.
The Liberace Museum
Except
is
the food.
There.
Probably the food I would go for.
Oh, okay.
But I have, my friends go, and I have no interest in all that.
You know what it's like? It's like going and observing a mental ward for an afternoon. It's to go just to say you've been there, I think is, you should try it. And again, Liberace Museum rocked. It was so great. I have to admit, I love that.
Oh, my fifth grade teacher's favorite entertainer. She would have.
Well, it's Liberace?
Yes, but if she'd have known the half of it.
I was going to say, I don't think so.
I don't think she was.
What are you talking about? Just kidding.
Nothing. His taste for home decor. Okay. What U.S. war broke out the same year that the federal government first printed paper money, paper specie?
Civil War?
Yeah, it's the Civil War.
I was going to go. I wasn't sure if it was going to be that far back, but I should trust you.
Roy teaches history, we got that. Okay. What Bill Murray Ghostbusters term did Persian Gulf warriors use to describe being hit by chemical weapons?
Slime.
Yeah, it's slime. It is, although probably much more deadly than that.
Although my favorite line for that movie is, Ray, if someone asks you if you are a god, you say, yes!
Yes, there we go. What opportunistic country declared war on Japan only 5 days before its surrender, that is the Japanese surrender, in 1945?
Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's they did stay out of that conflict.
There's that whole theory as to if that helped spur us to drop the bomb.
Yeah. You know. Well, what do you think? Do you think it did? I really don't.
It had to be. It had to be at least on their minds. I mean, I think there were other valid reasons for dropping the bomb, but
yeah. What Nicaraguan freedom fighters did Ronald Reagan call the moral equivalent of our founding fathers?
The Noriega group?
Think Iran hyphen?
Iran-Contra?
Yes, it's the Contras.
The Contras. Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
that is so scary. The moral
Noriega was Panama.
Yeah. He was?
Yeah.
Same part of the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get partial credit. It is the same part of the world. It really is. Wow, and okay. What U.S. president did General George McClellan sum up as nothing more than a well-meaning baboon?
Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, my. That was his commander-in-chief.
Yeah, Lincoln, the president, came to his house to meet with him, and he came in and went upstairs just ignored the president.
That is so rude. Although McClellan had political aspirations.
Oh, yeah. He was a opposing party, and he had big, and he ran. And thank heavens, the Shenandoah Valley campaign, the fall of Atlanta, and a few other things allowed Lincoln to win re-election.
Oh, thank God is right. What southeastern state was the last to return to the Union after the Civil War?
Georgia.
Yes, it is. Did you learn that on a trip to Atlanta, Dan?
No, but Roy is questioning that answer.
He is.
I'm going to have to check that.
Yeah, it's the southeastern state, last to return to the Union after the Civil War. Would you think it was Mississippi? Because that was what popped to my mind.
There were three states that came back in 1877, and right. I didn't think Georgia was one of them. But I will check.
Well, do check.
Perfectly willing to be proven wrong.
Do that.
We may come back with an answer.
Michelle, we won't take away your your diploma, Michelle. We promise that, okay? We're not going to do that. Okay, so Roy's got to slip out, so we say bye to him right now. And
I'll be playing several roles for the next few minutes.
Solitaire is the only game in town.
It's the only game in town, indeed, indeed. Okay, this country left the League of Nations in 1933. So League of Nations, as you know, was founded to kind of like the precursor to the United Nations. So 1933 was also the rise of dictators.
I was going to say Russia.
Not Russia. Think another dictator.
Oh, Germany.
That's right. It was Germany.
Of course.
Ooh, and let's wait a second. This was handed to us by Michael. Michael Jason, as always. This is so great.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. It says the AK-47. And it's a little piece. Actually, this is so cool. This is excellent. I feel like I'm working like at BBC or something when Michael slips these things over. The AK-47, short for the Kalashnikov Model Automatic Rifle, is a gas-operated assault rifle mostly used in European bloc countries during the Cold War. It was adopted and standardized in 1947, designed by Mikhail Kalashnikov, and originally produced by the Soviet manufacturer Izvestk Mechanical Works. Compared with most auto-loading rifles of World War II, the AK-47 was compact, had a good range of fire, had moderate power, and wow, that's amazing. That's really incredible. Yeah, it has a rate of 600 RPMs, a muzzle velocity of 717. It's sighted to 800 meters. That's a pretty good distance, isn't it? It's 800 meters.
It's about a half a mile.
That's not bad. That really is. That's really cool. Michael, thank you. Just a little extra information about the AK-47.
Oh, wow.
I know.
And the A comes from?
Well, here's the odd thing.
Didn't really say.
I'm back.
The manufacturer? Yes, right. Eddie's back. it was the Izvestk, but that begins with an I, Mechanical Works. So we're not sure where the A
is coming
from. They use
the Cyrillic alphabet. Who
knows
what's going on?
Yeah, maybe that's it. I was
going
to say maybe that could possibly be it. Something's wrong that way. I love this, though. Over in the corner it says, this date in history, the World War II aircraft carrier Ark Royal was torpedoed and sunk by U-boats near Gibraltar. Wow. Pretty cool. The Ark Royal was then rehabbed, and she played in the Chase the Bismarck. after that. So that's really cool.
And everything I know about the Bismarck, I learned from Johnny Horton.
So. Oh, God. That's sing the Bismarck. Yes, indeed.
Oh, Johnny Horton's.
Yes. Yeah. You're thinking of Tim Horton.
Tim Horton. That would be different.
I was really trying to find the connection.
That was like, it would be like coffee and history. Something like that.
Thank you for...
What was the first U.S. war that was partially financed by lottery dollars?
Lottery dollars.
Lottery dollars. Yeah. So somebody was selling.
The Korean conflict.
No.
I don't know.
Much earlier.
Much earlier.
Really? War of 1812.
Even earlier than that.
What?
War.
Revolution.
The Revolutionary War. So I'm trying to figure out what the lottery.
That is so American.
That is so American. But I'm wondering what it was they would have.
Well, are they using? Maybe? It's a different lottery than we think of today. Because I think of. No,
you're
the
thinking,
big four.
Well, I'm sure there were no scratch-offs, you know.
No scratch-offs.
Keno's or, I mean, Dan, you did that really cool exercise with the kids. I love that you did one time in Unite in the summer.
Yeah.
To have them work out the odds of
winning the lottery. I'm not sure if the lottery we analyzed is the same way they have now.
Yeah.
We looked at how many years would it take to draw all the possible combinations.
Right.
Like 106,000 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was like some incredible number. It was like the oddest thing. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to teach them at that point that they don't think that the lottery is going to deliver you from financial ruin or something.
I mean, won the only one that I ever played.
You're kidding. You mean like a scratch-off ticket? Or
no, Vietnam War.
Oh, okay. Ah, that was a good lotto to win, my friend. Ooh.
Or you can go on Deal or No Deal.
Oh, Dan, I think you should explain that.
Worse, I'm sure. Hopefully everybody's seen this. If not, I think you can catch it on YouTube.
Yes, it's still on YouTube.
But if you've seen Deal or No Deal, you know, the goal is not to win a million or to see if you have a million. The goal is just to push it as far as you can to get the highest bid. So if you're over 200,000, take the money.
Yeah, thank you.
Seriously. So there's a guy on there. There were two cases left. He had $1 and $1 million remaining.
Okay.
And they offered him $600,000 to walk away.
Okay.
What do you think he did?
He went for
the case and won $1.
I mean,
I laughed so long and so hard.
My boss came in my office when you sent me that. I started laughing. I laughed so hard.
I was
in convulsions. And Charles was, he goes, what is so funny? I said, you got to see this. He couldn't believe it. He simply could not believe it.
I mean, people are stupid, but I know that if they stop and think about it, that, you know, they really do have intelligence. But
yeah.
They get caught up in the moment.
This guy must just be completely stupid. And then after he's like, that's okay. No, it's not.
No, it's not okay.
No, it's not.
You just threw away a pension.
Yeah, I know. And his family was there watching him. I thought that was his family.
They were shocked. And then the audience, of course, goading him on to pick the next case. They must pay these people.
I know. I just thought it was like a feeding frenzy.
The other thing that drives me up the wall is all the lottery winners that are broke, you know, the big winners that are broke in 3 to 5 years. And they ought to require them to take the 30-year or whatever.
Yeah,
payout.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that? I can't understand.
Well, actually, they say do the one-time pay is actually better.
Is it?
But only if you're smart.
If you're smart, but then you have to invest the money. But I would take it over 30 years, whatever it is, 10 years.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's like, how could you spend all that money at once? How do you lose millions of dollars? I mean, unless you're on the stock market,
can
what can I say?
Spend all the money at once. Watch the E! Network.
I guess.
It'd be like the time in Bloom County that Opus ordered 40 boxes of salad.
Yeah, right. I was going to say something.
QVC.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. It's something that way.
Oh, dear.
What country did ever-prudent King Farouk I declare war on in May of 1945?
King Farouk?
Yes, this is a Middle Eastern king.
That was my guess.
Egypt. Was he not?
Yeah, he was from Egypt, yeah.
It was May?
In May 45. Of 45.
Oh, it's got to be like Germany
it's
or something.
Germany.
Another one of those late entries.
I'm like,
When was VE Day?
Yeah,
was he not paying
attention?
It was
May 8th. Wasn't it May 8th of 45 was VE Day, right? Yeah, because, there you go.
Okay.
That's really, 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 really scary. Okay. What U.S. military base was won in the last major battle against the Japanese in World War II? So this is still a military base. It's still an operating U.S. military base.
And
Guam's a good guess.
In the Pacific?
It's in the Pacific, of course, yeah. In the Pacific.
Saipan?
No, although that was a terrible battle. There were some scandals that were connected to this base a few years back.
Philippines?
Not the Philippines. It's Okinawa.
Okinawa?
What former president was on an African hunting trip when his Enemy, J.P. Morgan quipped, "Let every lion do his duty to him."
Had to be T.R.
It was Teddy Roosevelt. That's a great line, though, by J.P. Morgan. It's pretty funny. Who was the first lady lawyer to become a first lady?
So, Hillary?
Yeah, it's Hillary Rodham Clinton. Oh, wow. That's true. Although, I mean, there were some very well-educated first ladies before that. But, you know, she's the first to have a law degree, you know?
Yeah.
And while we think about degrees, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
That was good for the self-esteem.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange, California.
Yes.
How about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure
out
who's,
say $10.
Who said it. Yeah, right.
You keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win.
Okay. Six? This guy has low standards.
He's serious.
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said?
Who said?
I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Joel Cowers.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
That's
story.
Yeah, but tell
yeah.
her. What did he say?
Tell
her.
Oh, and she was being obnoxious, and she said, you know, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly.
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
He didn't know who it was.
And we're back with questions from Michelle Harris that are fun historical trivia questions and stuff. And you guys so far are doing really, really well. Oh, my goodness. What future president was the only U.S. senator from a Confederate state to remain in Congress after secession?
Andrew Johnson.
It is Andrew Johnson.
And he should have gone with the rest of the pack. We would have been better off.
Yeah.
He may be our most racist U.S. president.
Yeah, that's really, you know, that's something that they didn't really teach you in high school. You heard about the impeachment thing and how you got through all of that, but you didn't really find out till much later. I mean, when you start doing your own research and reading, like, this guy was Uncle Cracker.
He also gave speeches completely blotto.
Yeah, they said he had a bit of a wrist issue.
Yeah,
kind of.
It worked too.
Although, I mean, look at Grant. He was supposedly a very hardcore drinker, too, but...
He still made good decisions.
Yes, I was going to say, his judgment might have been a bit better that way. What three words did George Bush, number one, say before no new taxes in 1988?
Read my lips.
That's right, read my lips.
Which is kind of hard to do on radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just don't know why he really ever got that. Whose assassination was Sam Seymour the last living witness to until his death in 1956?
Garf.
McKinley.
No. This is really a shocker. It says Lincoln. I find that so hard to believe. Because,
was he like 5 years old?
I was going to say, what was he doing at the theater? He must have been like a babe in arms. I mean, 56?
Not really a witness if you're that young. But
yeah. I mean, although, I mean, they did employ children to work in theater companies doing some, you know, or maybe he was a child of somebody in a theater company.
Yeah.
Because they had such small little hands were things that they could do that they felt they could do better than adults. But, wow, that is really, really scary.
Hmm.
What U.S. president was born William Jefferson Blythe IV?
Clinton.
Yes, that's right. Because, yeah, his father, remember his father died before he was born, wasn't that it? That he died in an accident or something? And so that was his name there.
Oh.
And for our final question from Michelle Harris, what 1970s president openly discussed his battle with hemorrhoids?
Jimmy Carter.
It was Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my.
Saturday Night Live had a field day with
I'm
that.
I'm sure they did. It's like, wow, 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 wow.
No, you say, I had to have a minor procedure.
Procedure.
That's what you say.
Well, who was the guy that played for the Kansas City Royals that was the big...
George
Brett, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that was the big, big discussion that way.
And he almost popped one on that bat incident.
Yes. That's right, the famous. That was such a weird stadium, Royal Stadium, because they had this weird fountain out in the outfield that shot like tidy bowl blue fountain water because of their uniforms.
Yeah.
The Royals' uniform had that strange, but it had that blue dye in it. And their fountain had that. I went to a conference at Rockhurst. It was like, oh, let's get tickets to the ball game, which was like, okay. pretty strange. Our next set of questions actually comes from one of our students, Natalie Bohe of Sterling Heights, Michigan.
Great. What's her major? Her major?
Actually, it's English is her major.
Okay. As long as they're not grammar questions.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, she said these questions go across the board.
What is a gerund?
Yeah, oh, please. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. You're bringing me back to
Dr.
Dinga's English class in high school.
Oh, really? Okay. What ancient civilization invented the bow and arrow?
The Egyptians?
No.
The Parthians.
No, these are
because, you know, it's from the Parthians and their tendency to shoot as they're pulling away from people. We got the term Parthian shot that became parting shot.
Parting shot, okay.
Ah. Hmm. Very interesting.
I like your answer really well. She notes here it's the Chinese.
Okay. Oh.
Although, if you watch the Olympic ceremonies, that was a big thing about the things that the Chinese introduced to the world. That was pretty cool.
Is that the live version or the TV version?
I think it was the live, not Memorex. Okay. Yes, indeed. In what Canadian province did the first McDonald's franchise open?
So that's got to be Ontario.
No, I would have said the same thing. I absolutely
British Columbia.
It is BC.
Didn't McDonald's start in the West Coast?
It did. Yeah. It was the West Coast.
Oh, so it went up to Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, the first was in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did probably shot up the coast that way.
And it's better than Kroc Burger, which was the alternative. You know, Ray,
oh,
Ray
yes,
Kroc,
that's right, Ray Kroc. I know. I'm so glad he did not name them that. Ugh. True or false, the banana is a member of the berry family. Member of the
berries have their seeds on the outside, maybe.
Some do, but some don't.
Okay, then I guess that's not the definition of a berry. I'm going to say true because you wouldn't ask it if it wasn't.
That's excellent logic. It is true. Okay. I don't know what makes something the member of the berry family.
I thought berries had their seeds on the outside. Maybe that's not... No, that's not true.
Well, okay, strawberries
Never mind, I'm
do.
Confusing. No,
raspberries
no, no, no.
do.
I take that back.
But blueberries don't.
Blueberries do not. You're
do
right.
Do not.
I shall look this up.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? We should bring a laptop and Google all this stuff. There's the answer.
While you're at it, Mike, look.
Yeah, Michael. Michael.
Look
Michael.
For Georgia when they're admitted and if they're the last state during Reconstruction.
When did they come back in the Union, eh? Who is the current king of Norway?
It's a woman?
No, no. A king.
It
king,
is a king.
Olaf the Fourth.
No.
That was a good
guess. I think I'm thinking of Sweden, actually, the woman.
Oh, yeah, but no, actually, it's a king.
That was...
Lutfisk the Eighth.
Lutfisk. the number is a fifth, I'll give you that. It's Harald the Fifth.
Harald, okay.
Yes.
Olaf was a good guess.
No.
Lutfisk is a food.
Lutfisk is
it's a nasty.
It's like the worst food. Oh, have you ever tried it?
No, but one of my favorite shows, Andrew Zimmer. He goes around the world and eats the worst stuff ever. They had a special where he was in Minnesota.
Yes.
And they were in one of the old towns.
Yeah.
They showed them how it was prepared.
It's a big holiday feast, too. It's so, there's like lye in
it. And
they
soak it in lye.
Yes.
Well, that's how they make hominy, which is also a food I detest.
But he usually doesn't flinch, but you could tell that wasn't his favorite food. Do you ever see this show? The
no,
man eats
no.
anything.
Well, look
anything.
At Anthony Bourdain in No Reservations.
Okay.
It's the same kind of thing. When he was doing the brains on the one program, I know, I'm just like, dude, I don't know how you do it.
But anyway.
I have eaten brains, but not human brains.
Well, not human brains. Yeah. Well, sweetbreads, eh?
Thank
I
you
mean,
for
yeah,
that.
There's a difference, but, I mean, when he was in, where was it, doing the monkey brains? I think it was in, like...
Probably Asia.
Yeah, it was. I just like, no monkey brains, can't do it. What is the name of the last Shah of Iran?
Oh,
Well, the first name is a very, very common Middle Eastern name.
Is it Ayatollah?
No.
It's actually Muhammad.
Muhammad, it is.
Pahlavi
yeah.
or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, it is. Pahlavi. Pahlavi. So I guess Shah must have come in there somewhere or not there. In what county of the Republic of Ireland was the Irish musician Enya born?
Cork.
Is Bono really
the
king of Ireland?
He thinks he
Bono.
Is.
Cork?
No. This is more up in the northwest. It's up in in rather the northwest part of Ireland. It's very famous for its tweets.
Can we have multiple choice?
Yeah.
Oh, tweets, yeah. Tweets.
Very, very famous for its tweeds.
Is that where Galway is?
It's up near past Galway. It's even north of Galway. It's County Donegal.
Oh, no, I don't know that. Okay.
Who is a patron saint of firefighters? This is really interesting. These are good sets of questions.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Actually, this is kind of interesting. There's a parish in Hamtramck.
St. Patrick?
No, because they don't even think he's a saint anymore. They said he's a legend. St. Florian.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, I'm right hot off the presses. Michael, this is so cool. The word berry. Okay, this is berries from Wikipedia. This is so great. The word berry has two meanings. One is based on its botanical definition, the other on common identification. Berries are simple fruit having seed and pulp produced from a single ovary from the plant. Okay, berries are also broadly recognized as small, round, or semi-oblong, usually brightly colored, with a sweet or sour fruit container. Okay. In fact, actually, they go on to talk about modified berries. The fruit of citrus, oranges, kumquats, and lemons are considered a modified berry.
Hmm.
I know, that's really interesting. I'm like trying to scan here to see. Banana, here we go. Okay, the common parlance, a banana is what is called a false berry, okay? False berries are, like blueberry, cranberry, are made from a part of a plant other than a single ovary, but it is still considered a compound fruit.
Hmm.
This is more, I never knew there were so many things to know about.
I was going to say, this is more than you ever cared to know.
Yeah, it says a blueberry is a false berry. Blackberries are aggregate fruits. Strawberries are accessory fruits. This is so, I never knew this. Wow.
Spent many a summer day as a kid picking blackberries.
Oh, who didn't? Yeah. I was going to say that was a huge part, and blueberries, because they grew wild up here in Michigan. Let's see. Here we go. Name the television quiz show that originated in the Netherlands and is now an international favorite.
Quiz show?
Yeah.
Not Jeopardy.
No, because that was actually...
I think so. It started here.
That started here in the U.S. Yeah.
Quiz show from the Netherlands?
From the Netherlands. I've not heard of this, but... You know,
you have not heard of the show?
I've never heard of the show in my life, but it's an international favorite. I was assuming it'd be something like.
I have no idea.
How much pressure will that dike stand?
Yeah, really. There we go. It's 1 versus 100.
Oh, that was in this country for a short time.
You're kidding. On what channel?
No, it was on NBC, I think.
Hmm.
It was an interesting concept.
Okay.
But.
All right. Where can you find the city of Nice?
France.
Yes.
Yeah, France.
There we go.
Yeah. I thought that was too obvious.
We have to stop there. Well, we'll hold on with these, and we'll hold them over till next time. So let me thank the panelists, Professor Fingerbein.
Bye.
Bye. Professor Baggio.
Thank you.
And now this word.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department studios here at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and Wikipedia beyond belief by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Detroit Titans!